Presented a curious contrast in the character of one noted for indolence and luxurious tastes, Petronius was fond of referring to his services to the state, since they showed not only what he was able to do, but what he might have been had he so wished.
"I did go to Heraclea," answered Vinicius. "I was sent there by Corbulo for reinforcements."
"Ah, Heraclea, there it was I knew a girl from Colchis for whom I would give all the divorced women I know, Poppaea included. But how long ago that was! Let us talk of other things. What news of the Parthians? Between ourselves they bore me, the Vologeses, the Tiridates, and Tigranes, all those barbarians who are in the habit of going on all fours at home, as Aurelinus says, and who affect to be human beings only with us. Rome talks much of them, however, for the reason, probably, that she is afraid to talk of anything else. This war fares badly, and but for Corbulo it might have ended in defeat."
"Corbulo? By Bacchus, a genuine war god, a veritable Mars, a great general, and withal an irritable, blunt, thick-witted fellow. In spite of it all, I like him, if for nothing else than because Nero fears him."
"Corbulo is no fool. Perhaps thou art right, but what difference does that make? As Pyrrho says, stupidity is no worse than intelligence, and cannot be told from it."
Vinicius continued to talk of the war, but when Petronius again closed his eyes, and the young man noticed his uncle's weary, drawn face, he changed the subject of conversation, and inquired with solicitude concerning his health. Petronius once more raised his eyelids. How was his health? So-so. He did not feel perfectly well. He did not feel so badly off, to be sure, as young Sicina, whose sensibilities were so dulled that, in the morning, when he was taken to the bath, he would have to ask whether he was sitting or standing. No, he did not feel well. Vinicius commended him to Aesculapius and Cypris, but he, Petronius, did not believe in Aesculapius. It is not even known whose son that Aesculapius was, whether Arsinoe's or Coronis's, and when the mother is in dispute, what is there to say of the father? In these days, who will guarantee his own father? Petronius burst out laughing and added, 2 years ago I sent 3 dozen fat live cocks and a golden cup to Epidaurus. Canst thou imagine why? Said I to myself, whether it do good or no good, it can do no harm. I am of the opinion that those who bring offerings to the gods reason just as I do. All with the possible exception of the mule drivers travellers hire at the gate of Capena. In addition to Aesculapius, I accidentally had some business with some of his kind last year, when my kidneys were out of order. They prescribed a night's sleep within the walls of a temple. I knew them for rogues, but even then I asked myself, what harm can come to me from that? Society rests on roguery, and life itself is self-deception. Even the soul is a dream. Nevertheless, one ought to have a certain degree of intelligence to be able to distinguish the errors that are pleasant from those that are not. I direct that my sweat room shall be heated with cedar wood sprinkled with ambergris, because while I am alive I prefer perfumes to stenches. As for Cypris, to whose good graces thou hast also commended me, I know enough about her protection to have introduced shooting pains in my right foot. But for all that, she is a good goddess. I foresee the time, sooner or later, when thou also will be bringing white doves to her altar."
"Thou hast guessed right," answered Vinicius. "I came away scatheless from the arrows of the Parthians, but love transfixed me, in a most unforeseen way, not a mile outside the city gate."
"By the white knees of the graces, thou shalt tell me about this at length," said Petronius.
"I came to thee particularly for advice," answered Marcus.
The manicures, who now began to busy themselves with Petronius, interrupted him, and Marcus, at Petronius's invitation, doffed his tunic and plunged into the tepid bath.
"Bless me, I did not even ask thee if thy love is returned," said Petronius, as he gazed at Vinicius's youthful figure, which seemed as if chiseled from marble. "If Lysippus had only seen thee, thou wouldst be gracing at this very moment the Palatine Gate as a statue of the young Hercules."
The young man smiled with satisfaction as he plunged about in the bath and sent the warm water in an infinitude of sparkling drops over the mosaic which represented Hera at that moment when the goddess begged that sleep might close the eyes of Zeus. Petronius stared at him with the delighted gaze of an artist. When Vinicius came out of the bath, and in turn had given himself into the hands of the manicures, the reader entered.